It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, what is up? Want to welcome you here to another edition of the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, all presented by Daily Joust. If you don't know me, my name is Dan Bach. Kind of go by the alias of DB730, and I've been doing this podcast since, so I guess it was towards the end of last baseball season, so we're rolling right along, and we certainly appreciate you giving us a listen. I like to think it might be the most important podcast you listen to every day, because we're bringing you great information to help you become a better daily fantasy player. Also bringing you the top interviews. Today's going to be no different. Joining us today on the podcast, got two different people we're going to talk to. First off, one guy's name is Josh Bonesteel. He is one of the finalists for the FanDuel playoff, I should say, for the Daily Fantasy Baseball Championship. He was one of the guys who finished atop of last week's championship, and he is going to play it off Friday night, so we'll get his take. He has actually kind of been in this position before, so very interesting conversation with him coming up here shortly. Also, we'll bring on Taylor Cabey of DraftDay.com to the podcast, and we spoke about it yesterday, the Draft Day Online Championships of Fantasy Sports Online Championship is going to be starting up, I believe, towards the end of May, and we'll bring him on to kind of get their idea with this tournament, maybe plans for the future, and just kind of discuss about this $40,000 guaranteed series of events, which I think is a good addition to Daily Fantasy, and it's been, I'd say, their marquee event this baseball season, one of them. Of course, they had that big Moneyball tournament earlier, which was a nice success for us players, but this is going to be a nice event they're putting together, and we'll talk to him shortly about that. Also, usually Thursdays, not a whole lot game analysis to go on, but actually, six of the seven games are night games tonight, so we will go through a little bit of baseball analysis since usually I ignore the afternoon games, but we will get to the night games tonight. So that's kind of what we have on tap for the podcast. Obviously, tomorrow's a busy day because Fridays are one of the biggest days in daily fantasy, at least from the qualifying perspective. Is usually Draft Street has a big event, and of course FanDuel every Friday night has their Daily Fantasy Baseball Championship. So not only are they going to have the five-man playoff on Friday, but they're going to have the following week's qualifier. And I kind of threw this on the message board, like, let's say a guy like Beer or Burn Notice or Bonesteel or any of these guys decide to play in the regular contest as well as the five-man, and what if they would win both? Because if you don't know, you cannot win seats, more than one seat, into the finals. I'm guessing it would just be an oh, sucks to be you situation. See, that was a little bit one of the reasons why I was surprised that they actually moved the qualifying final to a Friday night. I thought that was a little bit out there. I didn't really understand why they waited so long. I thought maybe like a Wednesday or something would have made more sense. So therefore, those people who lost could, you know, basically get back in on the following Friday. Because I don't really think, just my guess, I might be wrong on this, but I'm guessing those people might not play too heavy in this week's Daily Fantasy Baseball Championship, considering they only have a one in five shot. They only got to beat four other people to make it to the championship instead of 1,800 other people. So, a little surprised they picked the day that they did. But nonetheless, we'll have our eyes on our teams and certainly that big showdown for that last spot. Not the last spot, for that week's spot out there in Vegas. But let's get rolling. Let's talk with one of those guys who is actually going to head out there to Las Vegas. His name is Josh Bonesteel, Roto-Grinders member. He's up now here on the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Joining us now on the podcast, certainly excited to bring on our next guest as he is a finalist, well, a finalist of the finalists. I don't know if that makes sense, but anyway, he was one of the five people who were tied up at the end of the last FanDuel Daily Fantasy Baseball Championship qualifier on Friday. So what does he get to do? He gets to play it off again, except instead of beating 1,800 people, he only has to beat, what is it, four other people, I believe it is, for this shot at $100,000. He is new to the podcast. We're excited to bring him on. His name is Bone Steel, but his real name is Josh, and we're excited to bring him on to the podcast. Josh, first off, congratulations on making it to the mini-finals coming up on Friday.
Thanks. Look forward to it.
Now, tell me about this kind of stress you have to be going through, because, you know, it's one thing being stressful as it goes on and you see what's happening and you get down and you see your tie. But now you have a whole week now to think about this lineup you're going to be putting together. Now, I mean, is this good stress, or, I mean, how are you going about dealing with beating these four other people?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say it's good stress. I mean, I'd rather go in the next day and get it done with, but you know, you can plan out a strategy and look and, I guess, do a little more research on matchups and stuff like that. But I'd much rather it be done today than Friday, since there's a full slate of games today, although it's, you know, early and late games.
Now, tell me about your strategy in the Daily Fantasy Baseball Championship qualifiers, because you actually got into a situation last year where you also finished in a tie. So first tell us about that. How did that go last year, and how did that end up working out for you?
Well, the tie was in the Ironman Challenge at the end of the year. It was the last tournament they did after the DFBC qualifiers, and I tied Dirk Knight, and we had to do a one-game playoff, and I ended up beating him to get into the DFBC last year.
And how did the DFBC go for you last year? Because it sounded, I saw a post that you made, it sounded like you're still thinking about the team you put together that day.
Yeah, well, I didn't get last place, but I got second to last place. But it was, I mean, that one was real close. Third to 19th place were a six-point difference. If I'd have picked Montero over Perez, I would have got third, so because Montero hit a home run. But my strategy with the DFBC, because I don't have the bankroll some of these guys have, I'll load up a team, and you get lucky, just like we all did with the Braves and David Price last week. The prices just seem to fit, and it was really Peralta hitting that walk-off that did it for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. And how many teams did you find yourself putting in every single week for the DFBC qualifiers?
I usually only do one or two. I think last year the most I ever did was six, and I don't think I finished above 300 with doing the six teams, so I figured, why do more than one or two if you're not going to do any better than that?
So you only had, what, two teams last week, or one team?
I had one team last week. All I did was that Braves load up of Price and Peralta. So, yeah, it was pretty lucky. I'm not going to say that there was a ton of skill involved.
Well, what were you thinking? Because obviously at some point in time you looked at it and said, oh, crap, you know, there's four other guys with the same team as mine. Now, on one side of it, you know, you see a guy like Beer Makers Fan with your same team, you got to be thinking, you know, this guy's, you know, a huge big-time daily fantasy player, giant bankroll, big-time winner. Yeah, got to feel like pretty good that you actually picked the same team as him. But at what point in time did you look at it and feel like, you know, we're going to end up playing this thing out?
Yeah, I really didn't even look at the scores until after Chipper hit that home run, and I think it was the fifth or the sixth, and I think that put us all up into, like, eighth place, and I remember looking at it going, oh, my God, there's five of us with the same team. So I'm like, even if we win, I mean, I didn't really even refresh the scores all that much or anything, because I knew if we all won, we're going to have to do a playoff, since I had gone through it last year. So I kind of showed my wife on the computer and said, well, I guess we'll go to bed and see what happens. And I probably woke up around 12:30, went and checked it out, and saw that we'd all got first place, so I knew it was coming next. I just didn't know what day it would be.
Well, it's pretty exciting to have this coming up on Friday. Just as an observer, I'm very curious to see how people are going to put teams together. You know, this is only a five-man contest. I don't care who you are, but I think you got to use a little bit different strategy when you're talking about five-man to, you know, 1,800. So I don't want to have you give away any secrets, but have you thought about how you're going to put this team together? I mean, you mentioned before, like, the team stack philosophy obviously worked getting you in. But, you know, have you given much thought about how you're going to go about putting this team together for a five-man? And have you already started looking at pitcher matchups and who you might be taking at that big pitching spot?
Yeah, I've definitely already looked to see who's pitching on Friday. And it's not super impressive, but there's some decent matchups, I think. You know, if someone loads a team up, I think that's really risky with just five teams in it, because it's all or nothing. I mean, against 1,800 people, if you get lucky and you have the best team, great. I mean, there was a guy last year that won with the Padres load up to get into the DFBC, so it can happen. But, you know, five people, I think you got to think it out more and kind of see, look at the matchups. And I mean, a lot of it's luck. Any guy can throw a no-hitter. Look at Phil Umber after the perfect game. He's been horrible.
That is absolutely the truth. We're joined by Josh Bonesteel. He's one of the five finalists playing it off for the shot to go to Vegas, and was a DFBC finalist last year. So he would be the first guy from last year's group to make it into this year's group if he can pull that off. Now, I always like to know about you guys and who you are, because first off, when I saw Bonesteel was the name, I thought, oh yeah, that's kind of an interesting name. But then when I got an email back from you, I didn't realize that's your name. Like, Bonesteel, that, you know, Josh Bonesteel sounds like you should be like a UFC fighter or something. I mean, that is like one of the greatest last names I've ever heard. So I'll take it you are not a UFC fighter. So what do you do for a living?
No, I'm not. I actually do network administration. I'm an IT guy, so a little bit different than a UFC fighter, if you know.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, you know, if you ever need to go into a second job or you need to sell your name off or something, because that is just an absolute great name. I absolutely love it. But we definitely wish you the best of luck. Of course, this is going to be coming up on Friday now. Is your have you told your wife about this? Like, obviously, it sounds like you have. Like, what's her feelings about this whole situation? Because let's face it, $100,000, if you end up getting a chance to go to Vegas to play for it, is pretty big-time money. So is she going to follow this as closely as you are?
Yeah, she will. She actually listens to Fantasy Sports Channel on XM all the time, so she's well aware. I mean, when they talked about it last year on that channel for the DFBC, she was like, she came home and told me, hey, they're talking about the tournament you're playing in tonight. And so she'll definitely follow it. She's kind of – she'll probably stay away from me on Friday in case it's not going so well.
Well, that's great. That's great. I love it. Well, Josh, certainly congratulations on getting to this point. Best of luck on Friday, and certainly hope you have a chance to make it out to Vegas and kind of represent us here on the Roto Grinders. I know we got a few other guys out there, but it's a pleasure to talk to you, and thanks for taking the time.
You bet, Dan. I appreciate it.
Okay, I want to take a quick moment to say thank you to my good friends at DailyJoust.com. If you haven't gone over to Joust yet, what you waiting for? Come on, they've been a sponsor of this podcast since the first day it started. So if you enjoy this show, just run on over there and give them a chance to earn their daily fantasy business. And we'll tell you what, this Friday, they've got their $1,000 guaranteed tournament. They're putting the bounty on primetime 420. And the bottom line is there's no way he can do worse than my 92nd place performance or whatever the hell I was last week. So I sucked when the bounty was on my back. So maybe prime time will do a little bit better than I do. So if you finish ahead of him, you get a bounty badge. And of course, that goes towards your five badges, which gets you into a monthly free roll. Speaking of free rolls, they offer them pretty much every single day on that site. So if you're a newer player, you want to try it out, that's a great place to go. And decide to play some free games before you kind of jump in against the some of the heavyweights out there. But lots of great ways for you to play, whether it's the solo contests, the survivor contest. The customization of their 50-50 contests is just phenomenal. And I'm not going to lie, I'm already excited for college football season to get here. And it shouldn't be saying that considering, you know, we're not even through May yet. But I just remember how much success I had playing college football and Joust. So I cannot wait to dominate once again coming up this next season. But they got a great variety of games, even NBA playoffs, NHL playoff games as well. So please check them out. They're great fans of us here at Roto Grinders and great supporters of the podcast. They are DailyJoust.com.
Relax. All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist. Throw some ground ball. More democratic. You get a shiver in the
dark. Okay, not a whole lot in the world of baseball to talk about, so this should be pretty quick. Let's jump right into it. Washington and Pittsburgh. It's Strasburg versus Kevin Correa. Looks like a one-sided pitching affair here. Well, Washington, though, they've actually only scored a combined 12 runs during their six-game slide in opposing ballparks, so they need to get the ball rolling again, and no one better than Steven Strasburg to stop the bleeding. He's actually a limited opponents to a 187 batting average, through his first six starts this year, and he struck out 38 batters in as many innings. One guy you might want to watch out for is Andrew McCutchen. Four hits yesterday and also has home runs in back-to-back games. Kevin Correa compiled a 5.56 ERA while losing his last two outings, but all in all this year, he's 1-2 with an ERA of 3.38. He is 3-1 with a 3.60 ERA in five starts against the Nats. But Washington, they actually hit 298 against Correa over those outings. So they got a hold of him pretty good. Not a whole lot of interesting batter versus pitcher stats here. Adam LaRoche, 5 extra base hits and 21 ABs. Mark DeRosa also 4-for-9. And if you're curious, Ryan Zimmerman is back off the disabled list. So I saw sitting really cheap over there on Joust. Tampa Bay in New York, it's Price versus Sabathia as David Price looks to improve his record to 4-0 against Sabathia, and the Rays seek a 9th win in the last 10 meetings with the Yankees. As a Rays fan, love to hear that. Price, he's actually outdueled Sabathia in the 5 previous matchups, going 3-0 and compiling a 1.56 ERA, and the Rays are 5-0 in those starts. And Price, he's 5-2 with a 3.96 earned run average lifetime against the Yankees. And, of course, he went 6 1/3 innings of 2-run ball in an 8-6 win on April 7th. A couple of guys who hit well against Price in the past, Nick Swisher, 4-for-17 off of David Price, and Derek Jeter, 3-17, 2 homers. Of course, one of those was hit number 3,000. As for CeCe, he enters this game riding a 4-game winning streak, and he's actually recorded a 2.46 ERA going 8-1 over his last 11 starts in Yankee Stadium. I think he's actually a really good option tonight, even though he hasn't had a lot of success against the Rays. 1-4, 3.72 ERA in his last 9 games against Tampa. But the reason, one of the big reasons why that is Evan Longoria has destroyed CeCe Sabathia, but he's not going to be in the lineup today. And you got guys like Jeff Kepinger and Sean Rodriguez with good numbers. So I think CeCe is really a solid play tonight for the Yankees. Moving on, Texas and Baltimore. This will be game 2 of the doubleheader, so always check your lineups to make sure who is in and who is out. Derek Holland versus Tommy Hunter. I'm a big fan of Derek Holland. I think he's a good young pitcher. Was pretty decent in his last go-around, so I wouldn't be afraid to use him in this matchup. Baltimore also hitting only 162 with 11 strikeouts and 37 at-bats against Derek Holland. As for Tommy Hunter, gave up 5 earned runs in his last start. Could be a rough outing going against this loaded Texas lineup. Adrian Beltre, 4-for-8 with a homer and a double. Good option at third base today. Next game is Cleveland and Boston. We got Derek Lowe versus Josh Beckett. Obviously used to be teammates back in the day. The Red Sox, though, they're reeling. I continue to believe Bobby Valentine's a bit of a bum as a manager. And the Red Sox, they're trying to avoid 6 straight losses at Fenway Park for the first time since 2010. Derek Lowe, he's actually done pretty well. He's only yielded 2 or fewer runs in the 4 of his first 6 starts for Cleveland. So surprising how effective he's been this year. I've gone against him numerous times to no avail. So maybe tonight's the night. I don't know. Adrian Gonzalez still trying to bounce back off of a shaky start here. He's batting 304 with a homer off of Derek Lowe. As for Josh Beckett, he's was apparently kind of injured enough that he had to miss his last scheduled start, but not injured enough to end up having to play golf on his off day with Clay Buchholz. You know, that kind of stuff I love, only in Boston. You know, they find these little things out, blow it out of proportion. So the Red Sox are falling to pieces. I'm a happy man anytime that happens as a Tampa Bay Rays fan. But Travis Hafner, he is a 7-for-20 with 2 doubles, a triple, and a homer. Hard to believe he ever got a triple against Josh Beckett. Asdrubal Cabrera, 313. Shin-Soo Choo also batting 313 with a homer off of Josh Beckett. Toronto, Minnesota, Henderson Alvarez against Jason Marquis. Alvarez went the distance his last game to shut out the Angels, and I do like him. Not a big K guy, only averaging 2.6 strikeouts per 9 innings, but going against the Twins, I think he's probably going to have no trouble, you know, keeping the ball in the ballpark, and again, might not have impressive K numbers, but if you get heavy points for wins, like on Daily Joust or on FanDuel, could be an option there. Toronto actually outscored Minnesota 44-14 while taking 5 of 6 meetings last season. And the Twins are coming off a 13th loss in 16 games, falling 6-2 to the Angels on Wednesday. Really not a terrific splits anywhere you look. Edwin Encarnacion is 8 for 16 with a pair of homers and I think a double against Marquis, so he's a guy to consider. All in all, though, I think the Toronto hitters, I mean, anytime you go against Jason Marquis, it's not a bad matchup for them. Last game for us to discuss of the night is Detroit and Oakland. Max Scherzer against Bartolo Colon. The Tigers split its last 10 games, totaling 30 runs in the 5 victories compared to only 9 runs in their losses. And Scherzer, he looked good last start, giving up 1 run in 4 hits over 7 innings while striking out 9. A couple of starts before that got really ugly. Scherzer also lost to the Athletics last season, allowing 5 runs and 7 hits, including 3 homers in just 5 innings of work. But I'm not impressed at all by this Oakland team. I mean, Kurt Suzuki, Cliff Pennington, they both have homers off of Scherzer. But coming off his last start, I think being in a big ballpark like he is out there in Oakland, I like him as a pitcher tonight. The Bartolo Colon, he actually hasn't beaten Detroit since 2003. I mean, think about where you were in 2003. That's like almost a decade ago. Man, this guy's old. But he's been 0-6 with an ERA of about 7 in the 11 games versus Detroit since that win in 03. So he's done terrible against Detroit. So I think you could look to guys like Delmon Young. He's 3-for-6. Miguel Cabrera, 3-for-8. And Ramon Santiago, if he's in the lineup, great numbers against Bartolo Colon, 11-for-20, 3 doubles and a triple off of Fatolo, as I like to call him. So that's the rundown of the games for this Thursday night. Good luck, folks. Excited to bring our next guest down to the program today. He is Taylor Cavey of DraftDay.com, one of the founders of that site, which has done exceptional in their short amount of time in the daily fantasy industry, and they are just announced a brand new promotion, and we're certainly excited to bring him on to talk about it. It's called the Draft Day Online Championship of Fantasy Sports. It's not the shortest title you come across, but there's $40,000 in guaranteed prizes. Taylor, congratulations on actually getting the promo together. I know the process of putting these things doesn't happen overnight. Tell me about what you tried to accomplish with this online championship of fantasy sports.
Thanks for having me, Dan. We tried to accomplish having the most complicated title for a promotion that anyone's ever seen. No, and actually, we're not in love with the name, but we thought that, you know, an online championship series made a lot of sense for fantasy sports. And, you know, as some people know, we came from the online poker industry, and these were pretty popular. We liked playing them as players, and we figured, you know, why not give customers a chance to do the same thing? So, you know, it's pretty straightforward. There's a bunch of events, and, you know, you can if you do well, you'll win points that go towards a player of the series race, as well as win some money. So that's really the gist of it.
And the cool thing about this is I know that some of these promotions that, you know, sometimes will take place over a course of a season or even like a month or something, you know, you get started on something, then you lose focus, you forget about it, and boom, you're out of it. Well, this thing I really like is that you guys really condensed it into really just, what is it, like 5 days worth of events. So if somebody puts in a whole bunch of money, you know, you can just play in all the events right there. I think I did the math, and it's about $400 in total entries, assuming you didn't win a dime the entire way. Is that kind of part of the strategy, too, to kind of do it in such a quick amount of time as well?
Yes. I mean, I don't know if it was intentional, except for the fact that I'm a big believer in doing things different than other people and just try. I mean, just to give people a different taste of something, you know, for the daily fantasy product. And I think, like, there's a lot of other great promotions out there that are different than this. And I think that trying something that is unique and can give players the ability, like you said, to play a bunch over the course of a short period of time, as opposed to, you know, kind of looking forward for a long period of time. So that was, I mean, yeah, that was kind of the thought process. And like you said, you know, there's $400 worth of buy-ins over the course of 5 days. But, you know, you don't have to play everything, and some people are going to want to put in far more than that, you know, because you can put in more than one entry into these things. So I think if people take a look at the schedule, they'll realize that there's something for everybody here, and that's really kind of what we tried to do.
And we're talking with Taylor Cabey here at DraftDay.com. And the neat thing about this, too, is it's not just a series of tournaments. It's a series of tournaments that are all pretty much different from each other. You know, you're kind of spotlighting some of the different type of games you have out there. And that's one of the neat aspects of this tournament. And I give you guys a lot of credit for doing something new and innovative, because I really feel like to determine who's, you know, the best daily fantasy player, it's not necessarily fair to put together everybody in one giant pot and hope and kind of see who gets lucky. You know, whoever comes out from a points perspective and winning this thing, you know, they're going to have to really prove themselves through a good number of events that are different. And I really like that aspect of this tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're kind of just getting started with this too. I mean, this is the first time we've done something like this, and you know, our thoughts were to put something out there and just try it, and we'll learn from it. And I think we have a lot of ideas for kind of making this even more entertaining or interesting. But, you know, like you said, I'll just go, for example, you know, we have two events on day two that is an NL only and an AL only. And, you know, I haven't seen very many of those games for daily fantasy, if any, really. I may be wrong that there aren't any, but there's definitely not a lot of, you know, big prize pool games where it's an NL only or an AL only game. And then, you know, we have a reduced salary cap game. And then, you know, a game that's what we call the hit it and split it format. So there's a target that you have to hit. And if you hit that target, you split the prize pool with anybody else that hits that target.
My question with that tournament is, you know, I'm looking at how the points are awarded, and that you know, you have a champion and then each place gets a lower amount of points. Now, on the hit it and it split it, for example, how does that work since technically everybody comes out winning the same amount? Is the champion still determined by the final score as opposed to everybody else below it?
I'm going to load up the Draft Day blog post about this just to make sure I'm right. Okay. But I think actually we set it, we took that out. Hang on one second. I think that's, I wish I knew the answer for sure here, but I think that's taken out, because really for a hit it and split it game, you're really just trying to hit, you know, the target, which is 45 points.
Sure.
And I believe we set it up so that, you know, anybody that hit the target would earn a certain amount of, would earn the points towards the player of the series.
Okay.
But I can, you know, post on the forums, let people know for sure. But I think that's kind of a cool thing, because
you really
just know what you have to hit to cash. And then it sort of becomes, like on different days when it's easier to hit it, you know, the prize that you win would be smaller. And then there's some days where very few people hit it, and the guys, you know, people have put a serious return on their money there.
The whole series kind of wraps up with event number 8, $20,000 guaranteed prize pool with a $200 main event entry. Now, you actually have a couple of main event seat guarantees, which are also part of the contest, where people can earn points. But you also, am I correct in saying that you're going to be running some quite a few satellites up to that point to qualify people who don't want to spend $200 on a seat to get into a big prize pool tournament like this?
Yeah, we're running them every day. So we've already put in one or two people, and we just announced this yesterday. And I think the idea is that, you know, like I said, there's something for everyone here, I think. And like, we want to give the chance for the guy, give a chance to the guy who wants to put in $1 into some satellite to potentially get into the $200 game and then turn that into, you know, his share of $20,000. And on the other side of the coin, there's the guy that's a very, you know, seasoned grinder that's great at daily fantasy. You know, we want to make sure that there's a diverse player pool so that he's playing against people that he feels like he has an advantage against. And like, these games and this whole, you know, daily fantasy won't work if there's not this mix of players, because, you know, let's face it, a lot of guys out there are really studying and trying to win, and some guys are just casual. So there has to be something for everyone. And I think that satellites accomplish that nicely.
Well, the player of the series, you know, I think there's going to be a little bragging rights in that. On top of that, you get $1,000 cash. And then you got this nice little thing that you do along, that you're going along with it, is that they actually play XM radio host Kay Adams in a head-to-head contest for $1,000. So, you know, you're relying on her to save you $1,000. I mean, that's a good chunk of change right there that you're putting on her putting on her plate there for you guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, we wanted to make it worth, feel like it was worth your while to compete for that prize. And you're winning $1,000. First of all, if you win the Player of the Series, you've won a lot of money already.
Yeah.
But you're winning $1,000 guaranteed, and you get to play heads up against a girl that's on the radio that's a fantasy expert, and that's kind of cool. So we wanted to make it cool, but also worth your while financially. And I think I don't want to give too much away, but I think long term, we're going to see different winners of these. We're going to do more of these things, and we think it'll be cool, and people will feel kind of a pretty big accomplishment to be the Player of the Series. So we want to, make sure that we want to reward them financially and, with a sense of pride for being able to do that.
And the neat thing about this, too, is even if you look at the standings, you're like, I can't win first. Well, second through 11th actually play off in a 10-man private game, $1,000 up for grabs. First place wins $300 on that. At worst, looks like you're walking away with $25. So if you basically get into the top 11 in the point series, you're going to win some cash. So that's a nice little tournament that you have for the runners-up. Now, one thing that I found just a tad bit interesting was that you called it the Draft Day Online Championship of Fantasy Sports, yet it's entirely baseball. Why didn't you just make it like the Baseball Championship of Fantasy? I was just kind of interested in why you didn't specify it for one sport, because I think this would certainly be something you could run for football, basketball, or different variety of sports out there.
Well, I think that offers a good clue towards our plans for the future. So I think it really just we wanted to create a series that was flexible for different sports and for different types of different things. So, and to be, 100% honest, we just had to name it something, and we thought this is a fantasy sports site, and, let's give ourselves some flexibility. So I think that's really it.
Yeah, no, didn't mean to put you on the spot or anything like that, but, it sure seems like I'm assured that this is going to be a success, but I think doing the quote-unquote championships like we've seen some of the other sites do, I think there's a little bit of bragging rights with that, and I think it's exciting that you guys are bringing it to Draft Day. Now, if people are new and haven't played on Draft Day yet, obviously we have our links here on Roto Grinders. Highly recommend you to go through those and try out the site, but you guys do offer free head-to-head, a free $5 game as well, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, if you hit the site and you see it for the first time, there's a big free draft now button. And what that does is that puts you into a game that's free, and it's a real quick pick'em game. It's just there's five tiers. You make five quick picks, and if you can beat your opponent, you win $5. And it's just very, very simple and easy to do. And I'm sure a lot of the guys in the RotoGrinders community have already played Daily Fantasy and they know what's up, but we wanted to make it so most people could just get in easily. And so I really recommend checking out Draft Day and playing the free $5 game. Maybe you'll win $5. You can use it on the site however you want. That's kind of a good way to get started. And then from there, we hope that you play our real money games.
Definitely. I will be giving it a look for this Draft Day Online Championship of Fantasy Sports. I haven't had much luck so far in baseball on your site, but I'm going to reload it up here and give this a shot, because let's face it, anytime somebody can call themselves a champion, there's bragging rights involved, and I'm going to be interested. So congratulations again for setting this up, Taylor, and thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Okay, that's going to wrap up the podcast for us today. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll return tomorrow, go over all those big games on Friday night. Please do me a favor and follow us on Twitter at RotoGrinders. You can also go to our Facebook page and most definitely subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Till tomorrow, everybody, thank you so much for checking us out. It's been the RotoGrinders Daily Fantasy Fix, all presented by Daily Joust. Have yourself a great night and talk to you again tomorrow. See you, folks.